Finney.
Joy Still, David Happ, Cheryl Hanley Maxwell.
Here.
Mike Smith, Deb Roush.
Here.
Okay, we do not yet have a quorum. We are expecting that we will. So we're going to try to jump around a little bit in the interest of expediting the meeting. So let's move ahead to item four, citizen input, public participation. Okay. None today? I have no comments in particular today. We have a full agenda, so let's move on from there. We will skip item six for the moment, which is approval of the CCDDB board meeting minutes, and come back to that. And we will also skip item seven, which requires approval. Number eight, new business. Item A is board direction, something that we've inserted earlier in our agenda and actually added to the agenda on a monthly basis so that board members have a formal way of voicing concerns, ideas, and so forth. Is there any information from any from either? Cheryl, do you have anything in particular? Nothing today?
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
It'll be a standing item so that you can direct policy before we're
before we move in, you know, have to act. We have an opportunity for earlier on in the meeting. Okay, B, self-advocates presentation. And I know we have somebody here to speak to that. So please come on up and introduce yourselves. Are we having audio visual problems?
It just turned on.
Oh. Do you need the your handouts all the way through? Visual, okay. Well, I'm going to leave that up to you because if you guys really want to rely on your visuals, then we can wait. Would you guys mind just one more time giving us your names?
I'm Diana.
I'm Charlie.
Kentrell. And Kentrell. Thank you for being here.
Uh-huh. Advocates in Motion is a group from Champaign, Illinois. We meet each month to discuss ways to advocate for ourselves and other people with disabilities throughout the community and the state. This presentation was created after an advocate had a conflict with a staff person and wasn't quite sure how to handle it. We all talked about how to resolve it in a way where both people felt respected and valued and expect the best kept growing from there. Today, we're going to talk about why we expect to be supported by people who are committed to doing the best job possible for us. We'll discuss how we are involved in the process of hiring and training new staff, participating in staff evaluations, and resolving problems with staff. We'll also talk about moving away from site-based work, heading towards more interesting and inclusive community activities. We also use examples of some of the things we're doing now. Please let us know if you have any questions.
First of all, we need to remember that we are the most important person in the relationship with staff members. Think about it for a minute, because of us. People have jobs, so they really are working for us. Just because someone is a staff person, it doesn't mean that they're always going to be right. Of course, it doesn't mean that we are always going to be right. Either sometimes we have to compromise. We all know we're not always going to agree on things. People have disagreements every day. Even during those times, we all deserve to be treated with respect and dignity. It really is possible.
Since we all work closely with staff, it is important to work with someone who respects you and is trustworthy. One of the things we do is to meet with people before they hire. They sit down with the program manager first and spend some time observing so they know what to expect. After that, a group meets with the candidate and asks them a series of questions. We came up with the questions by thinking about people that we really enjoyed working with, and then talk about what quality they have. The interviews give us a chance to decide if they are the type of people that we would like to work with, and give them an opportunity to get to know us. Interviews are usually about 30 minutes long, depending on how nervous or talkative the person is. Afterward, we meet to talk about what we like and didn't like about each person. We've done a lot of interviews over the past year and have most of the people we met.
Here are some of the questions that we've asked. We usually start with a fun one to break the ice. We ask who their favorite football team is because we all like different teams, even though the correct answer is the Green Bay Packers.
Take that to play.
That's not my idea. She likes the Green Bay Packers. I'm the opposite. I'm the Bears and the Broncos and the Colts. Yeah, I especially like the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah. Then we get into the harder questions. Why do you want to work here? This helps us tell if a person is just looking for a paycheck. What are some of your hobbies or interests? What could this person help us learn about? How do you handle differences of opinions? We're looking for people who look for solutions and are willing to listen to other people's point of view. Do you have any experience in this field? Sometimes experience is good, but we're really looking for someone with a great personality who is willing to work hard. What's important to you in a job? If a challenging, rewarding, and just plain fun job is what you're looking for, you might be a good fit. If hired, how long do you plan to work here? We're looking for people who'll be here for a while. It's hard to see people that we've built a relationship with leave after only a year or so.
Some more questions we ask are, how can you help me to increase my independence? This is a big part of their job. They should be thinking of how they can help me to do things for myself. Are you a good listener? We all need someone to talk to when we're having a rough day. Tell me about a time you made a mistake and had to try to fix it. Everybody makes mistakes. Being able to admit it and then fix them is important. What would you do if your supervisor told you to do something that you felt was wrong? This one is really important. We're looking for someone who isn't afraid to take a stand if something isn't right. Why did you apply for this job? What motivates the person to do this job?
Well,
the final questions we ask are, are you a person that other people trust to do the right thing? We have to be able to trust the person that we're working with. Where do you work now? Does the person have a good work history? Why are they thinking of changing jobs? Are they just looking for a change of pace or for a career? Are you reliable? We need to work with people that we can rely on. Why would you be the best person for the job? This gives the person a little bit of time to let us know the cool things about themselves and what they can bring to the job. After the interview is over, we need to talk about what we like and didn't like about each person and decide if we want to offer them the position.
If the person is hired, they have to go through training. The training involves classroom hours, on-the-job training, and lots of rules and regulations that people have to follow. Rules and regulations are good to know, but staff also has to know what we want from them in order to do their job well. We teach a class called We Are People, and we are important, too. Here's part of the class presentation.
DSC is like a big family. We all look out for each other. DSC is full of believers. We're believers in friends, family, and the fact that the people with disabilities are capable of amazing things. I hope that you can reach me something. I hope that you can teach me something and that I can teach you something in return. We'd like to talk to you about what we want from staff and some of the things that we don't want from staff. What we expect from the staff that we work with. Independence. If you do your job well enough, I won't really need you. sound weird, but think about it for a minute. Everyone wants to be independent and do things for themselves. Your job is to first teach me how to do something and then have the confidence that I will do it. I may need some help getting there, but I also want to do things for myself. In my own way, if I'm not doing something right, show me how to correct it and provide help until I get it right. Remember, that's your version of right, might be the same as mine. Patience. Because we're not perfect, nobody is. If somebody is upset, be understanding and try to talk to them to see if you can help. Good sense of humor. Get to know each person individually. Take the time and ask them to talk to you. Ask questions about what they like to do, what their dreams are, and how you can help them get started on making those dreams. Listening. If someone has a problem, listen to the problem and offer advice. Keep in mind that I need to make the final decision about what to do. You shouldn't tell me what to do. Of you.
That's going to Charles' turn now.
We also expect staff to be trustworthy. We should be able to trust each other to work together well. If you make a promise, keep it. If you make a mistake, admit it. If you need to apologize, say you're sorry. Adapt. People do unexpected things sometimes. And life isn't always routine. Be able to go with the flow and have a great time doing it. Teaching. Not everyone learns the same. Be able to think creatively about how to motivate and teach people who might not learn other people like other people do. Some people learn by doing or seeing or by reading. Take some time to figure it out and don't give up on people. I am an adult and I am deserving of the same respect that you would give to anyone else. Don't talk down to me or assume that I can understand you. I'm not your buddy or one of you or guys.
Next, here are some things that we don't want from staff. Bad moods. If you're in a bad mood, try to get rid of it before you come to work. Leave your problems at the door and try a little patience. Being bossy. Involve me, offer choices, and teach me what to do by taking the time to show me or help me. Nobody likes to be told what to do. Ignoring people. Everyone wants to feel like they're being heard when they speak. If you're really busy, let me know that you'll catch up with me later. Then make sure you take the time to talk with me when you're not so busy. Arguing. One time I asked a staff person for help and he put me down in front of everybody. It hurt and it made me feel bad. If we have a problem, we should talk it out in private, not in front of everyone. power struggles. You'll learn about them and how to stay away from them, too. If someone is having a hard time trying to help them through it, your job is to be right, to help me get it right. Non-believers, if you don't believe in me and that people with disabilities can do anything we put our minds to, you might want to find another job.
It's important to find someone to work with who will encourage you and help you achieve your goals and dreams. Maybe all of our dreams won't come true, but at least we can work towards them. Even if someone has a dream that sounds impossible, it's your job to figure out how you can help them achieve it. It could be as simple as teaching me to cook something, or as complicated as writing a book, or even meeting the president. One of our advocates was able to meet and shake with President Obama.
Just remember, be creative, be yourself, and dream big. People who have disabilities may not be perfect, but we are really still learning. And we want to do the same thing that you want to do. We want to be loved, appreciated, and accepted for who we are.
But by now, we've talked to people before they are hired, helped train them, and then have worked with them for a while. Then what? We should let people know how good of a job they're doing. Who else knows how well that person meets your expectations better than us? We came up with an employee evaluation form, and we meet with the person's supervisor to fill it out. Some people like to sign their names to the form, and others don't. What's important that your name is kept confidential if you like it to be?
We evaluate the staff on the following skills or characteristics by using never, sometimes, or always. In the person, friendly, helpful, patient, trustworthy, responsible, treats me with respect. For teaching skills, we grade if the staff is bad, sometimes, and sometimes good, or always good.
We also evaluate if the staff person treats me like an adult, communicates clearly, listens to what I say, is easy to find when I need help, lets me know when I'm doing a good job, and shows me how to correct mistakes.
Okay. More of what we evaluate includes if the person is able to give advice without telling me what to do. Often offers choices and solutions when I am having a hard time. And if community groups led by this person are interesting.
evaluate include if the person listens to what the group wants to do when helping to plan activities, encourages me to be independent, and talks to me about my goals and dreams.
We also have a chance to share our opinions by filling in these statements. What I think this employee is really good at. What I think this employee needs to be improved. This employee has helped me by... We also say yes or no to the question of whether we want our name, our feedback to be shared with the employee. Our input is noted in each employee's evaluation. So they're reminded again that they are accountable not only to the supervisor, but to us as well.
Let's also talk about what we should expect from the people we work with. It helps to have an idea of what you want before you can change the situation. We want to work with staff who listens, helps you to learn new things, is understanding, knows you really well, is fair, treats everyone the same, and can explain things in a way that makes sense to you.
Also want to work with someone who helps you set your own goals instead of setting them for you, jokes around when it's appropriate, treats you like they would any other adult, doesn't talk down to you or treat you like a child, and includes you and ask what it is that you want to do. Instead of making plans and then telling you what the plans are.
Finally, we want to work with someone who comes to work with a positive attitude, doesn't settle for getting by, look at what they can do to make a positive impact, is able to see things from our point of view, and most of all, we want to work with people who believe in us and our abilities.
Think about the people that you've really enjoyed getting to know and working with. What are some of their good qualities? Should you expect these same qualities in the staff people that we work with? And the answer is yes.
In order to get what we want, we also need to know what we don't want. We do not want to work with people who talk about us behind our back, don't respect our privacy, don't listen to our point of view, treat us like children, tell us what to do, and who enjoy bossing people around.
We also do not want to work with someone who makes fun of or laughs at us, doesn't believe in us, doesn't encourage us to be brave and try new things, is just there to get a paycheck isn't creative, likes to argue, or always has to be right.
Finally, we don't want to work with someone who uses disrespectful language, corrects us in front of people, brings their personal problems to work, and this is really important one. We don't want to work with people who pay more attention of their cell phones than they are to us. What are some other things that we do not want staff to do? Wait for responses from audience.
I don't know. We don't want staff to show up in a cold van.
All right, fine.
Hopefully, we've worked with people with more good qualities than bad ones. If not, let's get to work on changing things. Since we know what we want and don't want, what do we do with that information? Who do we talk to when we have an issue with staff?
Should we just assume that staff people can do whatever they want and we just have to put up with it? Here's another hint. The answer is no way. Since we know what we want and don't want, what do we do with that information? Who do we talk to when we have an issue with that? Let's learn what we can do if we have a problem or issue with staff.
It's not this part.
It makes me laugh because we talk about Vivian.
Yeah, she's really funny.
Let's use the scenario. Vicky likes to sleep in.
Oh my gosh.
Every morning, her house manager, Annette, worries that they're going to be late for work. So she barges in Vicky's room every 5 minutes without knocking and yells at her to get up. Vicky finally gets up, but by the time they leave the house, Vicky and Annette are already mad at each other. And neither one has a very good day.
Oh, wow.
I know. Houston.
The first step is to identify the problem. First off, nobody should be getting yelled at, especially first thing in the morning. Also, Annette isn't being very respectful of Vicky's privacy. When she comes into her room without knocking and asking if it's okay to come in.
Diana, that's all control for a while.
The second step is to look at both points of view. Vicky's point of view is she doesn't like being yelled at and wants Annette to knock before coming in her room. Annette's point of view is she doesn't want everyone to be late for work because of Vicky.
It's still control.
Step three is to come up with a solution. Vicky plans to set her alarm for 7:30. I let Annette know that it's okay to knock on her door 30 minutes before they need to leave. And then again, 10 minutes before they have to leave. She agrees that it's okay for Annette to come in her room if she knocks first and waits to be invited in. Vicky decides that if it's time to leave and she's not ready, she'll take the bus to work instead of holding everyone else up. Step four is to talk to the person about the problem. Vicky lets Annette know that she likes to talk with her. They decide on a time when they can meet privately, without interruption. Both agree that things aren't working out very well. Vicky tells Annette about how she feels when she yells at her and barges in the room. Annette tells Vicky that she hates to feel rushed every morning. Annette likes Vicky's plan for the morning, and they agree that they'll give it a try.
Wow.
They both leave the meeting feeling like they've been heard by the other person and have agreed on a good situation. It may be hard to talk to the other person, especially if you're still angry. Try writing it down first, or practicing what you like to say during your meeting. You might want to write a note asking to meet with the person privately. Things you could include are, I didn't like it when you, next time I'd like you to, I feel like, or I think we misunderstood each other when.
Okay, you're coming up. Get the mouse picture. Never give up.
Remember the four steps. Identify the problem. Look at both point of views. Come up with a solution. Talk to the person about the problem.
Alright, Charlie, here's yours. Do you want this or would you rather have that?
Sometimes you might try all of these things and the problem still doesn't get solved. Your next step would be to meet with the person's supervisor. Explain what the problem is and what you tried to do to address it. Ask his or her supervisor to schedule a meeting so you can talk about a solution. If that doesn't make a difference, don't give up. Ask for a case conference with all of your support staff, the person, their supervisor, and your case coordinator. Invite allies or family members if needed. If you still haven't been able to solve the problem, ask to meet with the next higher up person, a director, or a vice president, or CEO.
Next page is yours.
Okay.
It's just the page turner.
Yeah, I think she knows how to do it.
She does.
Yeah, I'm okay. If you've met with everyone in your organization and still haven't gotten results, it may be time to ask for outside support. You can ask family members, fellow self-advocates, or allies like the Alliance. You can talk with your independent service coordinator. You can even contact Equip for Equality. Most importantly, don't give up. Keep on speaking up until you feel that the problem has been resolved.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about some exciting changes that have happened over the last few years. For a long time, we came to DSC just to work. Sometimes we took the time to have a cookout, plan a special event, or went out to lunch with friends. But most of us focused on work throughout the day. There are a lot of different jobs where we work. We have 2 full production lines on the work floor, along with several other spaces for other jobs. We do around 40,000 parts a day for Caterpillar. In addition to work for Kraft and Libman, there are other 4 to 5 other companies that we work for on a daily basis. There's so much work that we have hired temp workers to help us out. One of the things we know is that sheltered workshops won't be around forever. So we started talking about what things would look like if coming to work every day wasn't an option. Some people want to work in the community and some don't. What's important is that people are making their own choices and decisions about their lives. We started by asking people what they were interested in. It was difficult at first because we were asking people to break out of their routine. One of the hardest parts was helping people think of what they really wanted to do. When we first asked, most of the answers were sort of traditional, like bowling, eating out, shopping, and seeing a movie. Some people were a little more adventurous and already knew what they wanted to do and what friends they'd like to hang out with. Staff helped by asking who was interested in what groups and writing down everyone's top 5 choices. We looked at which people wanted to spend time with each other. We purposely kept groups small because we wanted to just be people with common goals and interests. Not a group of people arriving in a big white van for an outing. The word outing doesn't make much sense, so we don't use it. It's a group of people without disabilities. It's doing something no one calls it on call it going to lunch, seeing a movie, or volunteering. This is a copy of one of the first weeks that we started groups. It's fun to look back at where we started. The two half-day groups each day. We kind of thought we were a big deal.
A lot of people who come to DSE use different forms of transportation. City bus, DSE transportation, family, CILA van, or outside agencies. Trying to make sure all groups were back in time to catch their rides home really cramped our style in the beginning. We now use our three available minivans, the NTD city bus, and even staff vehicles at times. Some people just meet us wherever it is we were starting from. Not working as much meant that a lot of us didn't have as much money to spend as we used to. We looked for activities that were free or low cost. We brought our lunches instead of eating out and learned about budgeting for things we really wanted to do. Keep guardians and parents involved was important. They had a lot of questions about why things were changed. Some liked the changes and some didn't. Overall, parents and guardians have encouraged us to try new things and are happy that we're becoming more connected to the communities that we live in. Some of the things we're interested in doing happen outside of business hours. Staff people are able to flex their time. They may stay later one day and then leave earlier on the next. Staff vacancies can be a problem. If there aren't enough staff to go out, what happens? Since we have some staff on the work floor and some are going out with groups, we just shift a staff person from the work floor to out. We don't cancel groups unless there's an emergency or really bad weather.
Since starting this a few years ago, it seems silly that we thought it was a big deal to have two groups each day. Ideas for new groups are suggested by the people who participate in them. Staff has input on what groups they like to lead and what ideas for groups they might have, but the people in the groups are the people who make the decisions. Some people who are really interested in working meet with a community employment specialist and attend job club each week. The group learns skills needed to be successfully employed, practices interviewing, and participates in internships. At the end of job club, people move on to working with a job coach to find a job that's a good fit for them. Highlights from this year have included a cookout hosted by the men's group, a person securing a job through a volunteer opportunity, finding treasures at garage sales, exercising in a pool, finding out that it's possible to make meatloaf in a mug in the microwave, learning about different cultures, and then visiting restaurants that specialize in that type of cooking. We also put in a lot of hours volunteering and helping out other organizations in our community.
As we put together this part of the presentation, we talked to staff members and the people they support. We asked for feedback from both groups and got some really, really interesting observations. I see a big difference in the traditional roles. It's not so much a staff-client relationship anymore. It's a group of people doing things they're interested in. And people are learning together. The best moment is when people look beyond working at Clark and identifying what is important to them as a person. I learn more about the people I support by doing things outside of the usual work setting. I'm much more confident and doing things in the community. It's not so scary after all. I've learned that my opinion matters and that I should let people know what I want. I've changed so much in the past few years. I think I'm most respectful to my friends and people want to spend time with me. I've learned about what's out there in the community and what things I want to do. I think being able to work sometimes and then also to be able to go out and do things, it's a good balance.
As we come to the close of our presentation, this is the part when we usually encourage fellow advocates to get involved in hiring, training, and evaluating the staff they work with. Since most of our audience today aren't advocates, but allies, we challenge everyone to take a look at not only the services you provide, but also the staff that provides those services. Ask yourself the following questions. If the answer isn't yes, think about how much you can make some changes. Do we promote dignity and respect for everyone? Do we teach new and existing staff that they are accountable to the people that they support? Do we listen when people say that they have a problem? Do we discuss solutions to those problems together, listening to everyone's perspective? Are we encouraging and supporting people in being valued members of their community?
If anybody has any questions.
Anybody got any questions?
Yes, a couple questions, I think. Thank you, first of all, the three of you. You obviously put a lot of time and effort into your presentation. It was awesome. We appreciate you being here. Thank you very much. You really informed us. I would just like to ask each one of you, Diana, Charlie, and Kentrell, if you're comfortable sharing with us, first of all, how many people you have been involved in interviewing, and also what are some of your goals and your interests that you'd like to see develop through your workday and in your daily living?
So basically what she's wanting to know is what have you learned over the last couple of years when you changed things? How has that helped you to become a different person and focus on your goals? What are your individual goals for yourself? So what are some of your individual goals for yourself?
Well, what I wanted to...
I hope someday in the future I've been to work in a bakery because I have always liked to bake. I love to bake. If I follow the directions and the recipe right, then no. So.
That you found out about yourself, and how does that help you? What about got you covered? What is that?
I am in a group that's called Got You Covered. It's a t-shirting business, and I'm learning how to either make stickers or t-shirts every day. Not every day, but.
I used to be in a group that dealt with budgeting and financially. It was surprising to me that I had my own book. But it wasn't written by me. It was written from a different author and perspective to what the budget group was going over. But I was a little surprised to where things added up when they were really talking about budgeting, stuff like that.
And you ended up leading that group, right?
Yeah, I ended up leading that group a couple of times.
Yeah, she did ask how, like, what interviews you guys have done. Remember that part of the question?
Yeah, I've interviewed a lot of people, including one who is a very good friend of mine, and this person and I are going to be friends for 3 years. It's coming July. And this person I have liked since that day we met for the first time.
Diana, do you want to talk about some of the things you like about interviewing, or?
Well, I helped interview several people, and one of them is the Tree of Hope guy, the family of the Tree of Hope, and he turned out to be really nice, so he's hired, and he's our super one of them now.
One of them. Oh my God, we're them now.
Yeah.
One of us. And Control, have you done very many interviews, or are you usually on groups?
I was the only one to do.
I'm usually on groups, but sometimes I do interviews if I'm asked on, or if they think I can ask good questions to the interview.
Like Ken says, one of the interviews that starts out with is, which is your favorite football team?
I knew I wouldn't get past that.
Mine sure ain't the Green Bay Packers.
Tell her that. She loves the Green Bay Packers.
I tapped.
Packers fan to get hired.
I'm a Seahawks.
Not Carolina. Me. And not me.
Oh, we all got different teams.
And I have a different team, too, because to most people, I'm not a Green Bay Packers fan.
It's okay.
And I'm not a Seahawks fan, even though I am wearing, I mean, I used to wear something like that, but I'm a Carolina Panthers fan. So that's a little different than what everyone participates, but that's everyone with different opinions.
Yeah. It gives us something to talk about.
Do we have any more questions?
No.
I was just wondering if you could tell them a little bit about the presentations that you've given to other groups, like who has been your audience? Who has gone to give this presentation in other places?
You guys remember every place we've gone?
It's up in Springfield. I can't remember.
Springfield was for the Division of Developmental Disabilities. So you got to tell them that. I don't want to tell people that. So when we did Springfield, that was Division of Developmental Disabilities.
When was that?
That was last October. Okay, so where did we start this? Where was the very first place we gave this presentation? At the summit.
At the summit.
And not everybody knows that, so tell them.
We gave this presentation at the summit, and then we gave this presentation at the
Division for Developmental Disabilities All Staff Meeting. I got it.
In October.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we did this in October of last year, in October 2017.
And I was there. What about for the All Staff Meeting at DSC? The Staff Institute Day?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell
them that?
Tell them, not me.
Well, we did all staff meeting in April 27th, in April last year.
We did it for the ARC convention.
Yeah, and the ARC convention, too.
And I think that's all we're booked for right now.
Very.
We'll settle for a limo.
Amen to that.
Limo's good for us.
Amen to that.
Do you want to ask if anybody else has questions? We're done. Thank you.
Thank you again. That was great.
Well, it's gone. The trash can.
Where are you
picking
your person at?
We don't have a quorum, so we're not gonna have any board action. Obviously, we're not having a regular meeting, but we can have a little bit of discussion around the remaining agenda items. But I do want to say that the questions that they asked us to ask, I think, are exactly the questions that we should be asking. So maybe they'll end up in our 3-year plan. Mm-hmm. They're really great questions. So that was a really nice job. Thanks, guys. Bye. Thank you. So the next item is a briefing memorandum on the community needs assessment surveys that we had posted online for a while. And this was quite a team effort. So do you guys want to talk about how we did that at all?
This was new venture for us. We had not done an online survey before in terms of our needs assessment process. We tended to rely on other studies or environmental or other documents. We've had public hearings in the past, some very, very well attended and generated a lot of good information, but we took a little different approach, and it actually was quite an investment of time early on last fall in developing the survey. But I think while it may have proven to be a little bit lengthy, we wanted it to be as comprehensive as possible. We tried to make it as user-friendly as possible with just check boxes and things like that. but also provide the opportunity that if there wasn't something on the survey that an individual wanted to share, that they had space to do that as well. For our first time out, once the survey was done, we had put a lot of information out into the community to various groups to help promote it and tried to get it out as far as we could. And from my perspective, I thought the response was pretty good. I would have liked to have seen more completed surveys, but I think Alex, when he does his review, will give us a sense of I guess as best he can, how far into the survey an individual got before they closed the survey without officially completing it. So this was very much a team effort, and I think it was a good process for us as a staff to work together on, especially having long-term staff and new staff, and helped, I think, as a team-building exercise as well. So.
I just have one question, Mark, about the, the kind of low response rate that you expected to have from individuals with IDD and did have. Do you think Alex has any idea about alternative methods for tapping into that population anymore? Or do you have any ideas about where to go with that?
I'm going to defer to the executive director and the associate director for IDD.
Well, that's what we expected in the beginning. So there was discussion when we first plotted the timeline for this. There was discussion with Alex, but we may choose to do it. Chandra and Kim may take the lead in that instead, and do. We haven't really formulated it, but you can have meetings. You could have a public hearing. It's we just heard some great stuff from self-advocates, so they might be the right people to start with, since it's already on their minds, and maybe it means meeting with them. The paper survey is very long. Well, the survey is very long, and online you don't have to complete any questions that you're not interested in. The same is true, obviously, on paper, but I think we could go to a different format anyway for those conversations. Okay. What I like about the feedback that we got is that we heard a whole lot from a whole lot of family members of people with developmental disabilities. Those are the hardest people to reach. I think we maybe hear more often from family members of people with behavioral health conditions. I don't know why, but, we have a pretty strong relationship with NAMI and the DBSA and now GROW. So I was very happy to see a high number of those returned. Otherwise, we were expecting to have to fill in some gaps. So Alex does, he has a process, and he has offered to do that, but we might take it on ourselves. So we have, there's quite a long section here. The briefing memo itself is only 2 pages, but then there's a whole bunch of data generated from this new reporting system. This is also online, and it's service level data reporting, and Kim has taken the lead in this, and I think for the first 6 months the issues were conceptual. But now we're in a period of debugging. So everybody's using it. Everybody who's supposed to be using it is using it. You have data here from everyone who attempted to use it, but there are still bugs within the data. And some of them are errors, like a person might use 2 different names, so that person needs to be collected in a different way. But there are also errors that are purely technical, related to the upload instruments. And so Kim and some agency staff are becoming programmers, and we want to make sure that they don't get too skilled in that and then run away to go make millions of dollars doing these kind of systems. So we're motivated in a lot of ways to get the bugs out of this. And I think it will be important not to make a whole lot out of the data presented here, because they're not incomplete, but they have errors that we know about. So the next 6 months of data, I hope, will be much more stable. So I don't. Do you want to talk about the work you've done? It's really been very involved, right?
So the way that the services were, the way that I pulled the services was that I went through each of the agencies' applications and picked out what services the agencies said they would provide in each application. So I created a list of all of the agencies by priority, and every service that any application said would be provided per priority. So every agency per program has a drop-down of those of those services, which they may have said they would provide, and some of them may have been in another priority, but they fit, or in another application, but they fit that priority. So I compiled that list, created those programs in the system, and then everybody was able to create their clients or upload their clients, and then begin entering the services for those clients into the system. Some of the issues that we're seeing now are, again, wrong names, and just within the upload, clients aren't making it in the system, or the service isn't making it in the system, so we are working on straightening that out.
No other comments about the service level data reporting system?
We might be testing the limits of the instrument, because we have so many claims going into it. So we'll keep chugging along. We have hope that when we are all finally able to use it the way we mean to, that it'll paint a really interesting picture of services. I think it starts to, but I just want to make sure that we don't make any judgments based on these data. They're not.
Nope. All cleaned up.
And they're not symmetrical. So, but then there are the normal second quarter reports are also included, and those are right? We think they're right. And those are the reports that we're all used to, so I have more confidence in those.
Okay, moving on to item E, successes. Do we have any funded program providers to share some successes with us?
Hi, I'm Becca Bachowski with Community Choices. I had just a couple things. We had two, I'm really excited about this. We had two self-advocates that are involved in our organization recently just apply for the UIUC LEND program, which is the Leadership in Education and Neurodevelopmental and Related Disabilities. So this is actually, it's a national program that has chapters around the country at different universities. So there's one up at UIC. And they just, I think this past year, started one here on our local campus. And it's an interdisciplinary program that looks at supporting inclusion and support for people with, their focus tends to be a little bit more towards like autism and other neurodevelopmental disabilities, but it is developmental disabilities in general. And so it brings in graduate students from different disciplines, as well as family members, professionals, and then self-advocates. So both of the women who applied to be part of this program, and it will start in the fall, they're both people who worked with us to develop our leadership class and have been working in various sort of leadership roles in the community. One of them, or actually both of them, are mentors in the schools through that grant program that we are doing through the Illinois Council on Developmental Disabilities. And I think that they're both extremely motivated to be leaders and self-advocates, so I'm really excited and very much hope that they are accepted. It is an application program, but I feel pretty confident that they would be great candidates. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. And then also, we are just starting a partnership with Enactus and their sort of subgroup Enabling Entrepreneurs. I know they worked with DSC last year to develop their T-shirt business. And this year, we're doing a class with them that is sort of teaching the skills that are involved in starting your own business. So sort of walking folks through that, developing a business plan. So that's kind of as a stepping stone towards working with another group. So that is starting in March, and we're really excited about that. And then finally, we had a vacancy of one of our employment specialists, and that's now a filled position. A gentleman by the name of John Rutter. He just recently moved down here from the Chicago area. He's been in the field for over 10 years, working in a couple different organizations in the Chicago area, doing a lot of employment as well as self-advocacy work. So we're really excited to have him, and it's going well. So I think that's it. Any questions? Yeah, thank you.
Okay, just for informational purposes only, item F, on page 9091, the FY 2019 applications for funding are listed in the packet. Did you have any comments about that, Lynn?
Kim did a cool second list, listed them by priority.
Okay.
So that's, you can see them too at... You can see them. The traditional presentation shows you what the funding is this year compared to next year per program and then total. But then Kim listed them by priorities, which is something I think we tried to do last year and it didn't work. But I like that. Thank you for doing that.
Okay. Then under old business, item A, the agency service activity reports are in the packet, beginning on page 92 going through 114. The meeting schedules, as always, are posted at the back of the book on page 115 through 118. The acronyms on page 119 and 120. We don't have a member of the CCMHB here today, but okay, great.
Just they'll be meeting tonight at 5:30. Well, that's this afternoon, I guess. At 5:30, the business is similar. Mostly, you know, I think everyone is interested in what the applications are to consider. And the Mental Health Board also has developed a process for really kind of digging into a subset of applications each so that board members are also reviewing applications. So that'll be, they'll probably spend a little bit of time on how they want to manage that process this year. Plus, they have liaison assignments, and I think they will be talking a little bit about what that process should mean. Is there other business presentation?
We have the study session next week with the presentations. And then there is the grant application, the potential grant application that's just information only for the board in that there's the prospect that the Mental Health Board might be asked to provide match. We do have the study session next week.
So as it turns out, it is different from our agenda here this morning. Pretty different.
Okay, moving on, the executive director's report. Do you have any?
Just that we will be, I think it's next week. I'm going to Washington, D.C. We have a legislative briefing on Capitol Hill. Kim has taken a big role in writing the presentation and organizing, right? Like you did. But she's going to stay here, and I'm going to go stand behind Kim's good work. but then the nice thing is right after that, we're going to go and our group is presenting an award to Dick Durbin. We're trying to reach out to representatives who voted against the rollbacks of ADA provisions a couple weeks ago, but it's hard to reach all of them if you're not in their district. So that's one of our goals when I'm in D.C. So it's an interesting time.
Okay, staff consultant reports. We have reports included in the packet from Kim Bowdry, Stephanie Howard Gallo, Chandra Somerville, and Barbara Bresner. And I know Barb's here. Are you still here, Barb? Okay, Barb had to leave. I thought she may have some information to share with us about the upcoming expo. Okay, sure. Come on up.
Just that the expo is, you know, moving along. They
Thank you. Agency information. I think that there is no agency information. We've concluded our business since we can't, there's no quorum for action items. So I'd like to move that we adjourn. Can I do that? Can't even adjourn. Oh, okay. Meeting is adjourned.
Just turn the lights.